It's so nice to be back here in Taunton, trying to be posh. Nice to be with Dave and Karen and to see for Chris and Roosevelt and all other folks that we know. And so we bring the greetings for Partners in Harvest to you guys. And it wasn't planned that I didn't know it was 25 years. It's just nice to be here. Yeah. It really is. It was not a bit of luck, wasn't it? Really a bit of luck that, you know. But it's really good to be here because we just want you to know that the work of Partners in Harvest is growing all the time, all over the world. There's about 50 churches in the UK alone, and there are many churches in Europe as well, and also all over the place. So we just heard we had a girl called Nicola Tancock, whom some of you may know. She worked for Catch the Fire in the UK for ages, then went to Australia. Now she works in the Philippines, and she is now being involved and being responsible with another pastor for 40 new Partners in Harvest churches in the Philippines. Wow. That's amazing. And she said there are 17 other churches waiting to be visited to become part of the family. So it's still going on after all those years. It's quite remarkable that. And so I want to encourage you that you're part of a move of God that began in 94, but it's still going strong. And it's been multiplied, as Dave said, all over the world. So I want you to be encouraged that you're part of a big family. And our role in particular, really, we are kind of mom and dad to leaders, you know. We are slightly mature now in age. You understand that? But we're still young at heart. And it's just good to be here. And I was just thinking of all the stories of Toronto. And I want to do this before I share what we're going to share. I may get through, I don't know. But the point is this, that I went in 94. We were pastors in an evangelical church in Blandford Forum in Dorset. You know where that is? Nice area, Dorset. Nice to be called there. And we were pastoring there. We were an evangelical church. And we had nice church. You understand? We prayed nice prayers and all that. And they asked me to go and check it out. Because they weren't quite sure about all this stuff. And I remember going out there to the old building. Before they had a bigger building, went to the old building. Had to queue up to get into church. You know, I couldn't believe this. And at that time, our oldest son was just about to be ordained into the Church of England as a vicar. He was going to be ordained in St. Paul's Cathedral a few weeks later. And he was just moving into his curacy. And I wondered how he's a Scots guy. And he wanted to be called into the Church of England. I thought, what's going on, Lord? You know the idea. And so he was in a diocese in London. And I was a bit concerned, how are things going to go there? You know, and all that kind of stuff. And I was standing in the queue in Toronto and thinking about this and thinking, is this God? I said, Lord, is this you here? That was my honest question. And as I was standing there, another taller chap stood beside me and we began to talk, as you do in a queue. You know the idea? And I says, my name's Bob Kilpatrick. What's yours? And he gave me his name. So I realized that I knew his name, and he was a bishop in London. I won't mention his name, but the point is, he was standing in the queue, you know, and he was a bishop in London. And I thought, my son is a curate in London. I said, do you know my son, Alan? Now, he's in charge of hundreds of ministers. You know the idea, but who cares about the rest of them? What about my son? You know the idea as a father, you know. Do you know my son? And so I stood there, and he's very posh. Yes, I actually do, you know. He did. I actually do know your son, Alan. You know the idea? And he stood in the queue, and he gave me a rundown of my son and how he was doing in a queue in Toronto. Is that not cool? Is that not God? You know, and I heard God saying to me in the queue, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your son. And what's happening here is me. And that was the start for Alan and I. And the next time I met this guy, he was all mitered up in St. Paul's Cathedral, all looking, you know the idea? And I met him and chatted to him on the steps of St. Paul's, and I thought, isn't God cool? And I want to encourage you that God is a God who does extraordinary things. And that was a start for us, getting involved in Toronto. And eventually we planted another church in Bamford Forum. And we had about 25 conferences there over about 7 or 8 years. And it became a watering hole. And since then, we moved on. And we are now itinerating all over the UK and into Europe as well. And so here we are. It's 23 years ago now, and it's still going strong. And this church is an example of that. The atmosphere here is great. You know, I love coming to go to many churches, but you've got a family atmosphere here. You know, it's a church. I know it's a church. Okay, I know it's a church. But part of the PIH DNA is family. It's not, in a sense, a denomination. It's a family. And I think that's very, very important. And here you are, 25 years on. Can you believe it? 25 years. You know, you were young ones, Chris, you know, and so were you, Dave, you know. And the point is this, that when you look back, it's quite remarkable how God moves in your life. And so Eileen and I are really pleased to be here today. And I wonder, well, what are we going to talk about? And I just want to just talk about something that I felt God saying to me, and it was a simple phrase: you're going places with God. Amen. You are going places with God. Now, that comes from a very well-known passage in Joshua chapter 3. That's not the words it says there, but could you open your Bibles and let's read the story about crossing the Jordan, okay? You all know the story, I'm sure, but I want just to just pick it up here. And in verse 1 it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position, follow it. Then you will never know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And you know the story, how they crossed the Jordan. They moved into their inheritance. They moved into the promised land that God had called them to. And, you know, I was thinking of this, that when I look back in my life, and I look at the whole process, why am I standing here today? And there's always a beginning somewhere, and I didn't realize where it all started for us as a family. I come from a very small mining village in Lanarkshire. Now, there's another Lanarkshire. She's from Lismahago. She's a quality lady. You know, she's from Lanarkshire. And the point is this, that I was from a mining village, and I wondered, how did I get to this point? And it all began when my grandfather, who was a miner, he worked down the mines for 40 years. And every weekend, he would go to the miners' pub every weekend, and he would come back down the main street totally and utterly happy. You know the idea? That was his life. That was his happy day. By living down the mines, no wonder he wanted to go and get a drink or two. But the point is this, he did that for years. And he was not involved in church at all. He did that for years. But one day, he wandered down this same main street, and he was inebriated in a happy way. And he walked past a group of guys who were preaching the gospel, the old-fashioned way, you know. They were socking it to the village, you know. And he stopped for some reason, and he listened in his inebriated state. And he became a Christian there and then. I thought, wow. My mother told me this just years ago now. And he went home and he said to his family, we're going to church next Sunday. And from that, there was a ripple effect that went through all our family. My mother was one of seven, right through all our families. And many of them became missionaries all over the world through that one man. It started there. That was his crossing the Jordan. And through that, his whole family crossed with him. And in so many ways, they are being used all over the world today. And I thought, that's cool. That's God. That's God. And I want to say to you folks here today, you are going places with God. Now, it's a new beginning again. It's a new chapter. Because you've never been this way before. Look at the history that we saw there. All that stuff. What's going to happen in the next 25 years? We just don't know. But you know this, it's God directed. It's God directed. And I want to encourage you in that whole situation that God wants to do that. So what do we have to do if we want to go in this kind of way? Now, I look back and give God thanks for the way that God gives you appointments that you've heard testimony of this morning. He gives you appointments. We would not be down in Blandford Forum for 26 years if two farmers hadn't met on New Year's Day in Devon and gave them my name. I was still in Scotland. I didn't know where God was going to take us. I was in a very conservative denomination who didn't believe in pastors. I went to Bible college. All our support stopped. And that was it. And I thought, Lord, where are we going to go? I've got a wife, three kids, and a mortgage. And you know, it was all because two farmers met in Devon, mentioned my name, and we ended up in Blandford Forum. That's all it was. Folks, whatever God's got for you, God's going to give you the potential and the power to cross your Jordan, to go where you've never been before. And you know, one thing I want you to know is this: recognize the presence of God and move with it. That's the lesson here. When the ark moved, they moved. The ark was a picture of the presence of God. Where the ark moved, and they entered into what I would call rather dodgy scenarios, going into a river and wondering what's going to happen. And for you, there are going to be times when you are going to move into your river and you wonder, where is this going to take me? But if the presence of God is there, you're okay. If the presence of God is not there, just go home and watch TV. That's true. Somebody said that to me. Just go home and watch TV. It was Joseph Garlington at the conference last week. If the presence of God is not there, you know, just go home and watch TV. So the presence of God has been part of your DNA here. And I just want to encourage you that as you do that, people recognize the presence of God. And that's very important. It's not something that you've not heard before, but I want to encourage you, as you go where you have never been before, you've got to recognize the presence has got to be there. And you can sense it. You know it when it's there. And that's when God shows up. I remember once when we were doing some stuff in Blandford, that we had a couple there. His wife and his daughter became Christians, and he wasn't happy about this. He was an army sergeant, big guy, you know. Didn't he like me? And they came to church. He thought they were having an affair at the church because they were in love with Jesus. Well, they were having an affair with Jesus, weren't they, in a sense? But he didn't like me. But what we did was, I wanted to get to know this guy, and I wanted to carry the presence with me, and that was something that God spoke to me in Toronto. God really shook me to pieces in Toronto, really did. And I came back, and Lord, wherever I go, Lord, I want you to go with me. So we went to visit them, because she was a really good cook. And I really felt I should encourage her in that, you know the idea. You know what I mean, you know. You want to say, that's a really good meal. Could we have another one? You know the idea. Well, come next week. And that was the way it was. And we used to go there. And then one time we were there, a lady that we were involved with who was demonized knocked on the door, right out of the blue. And so we had to deal with her there and then in his house. He watched this stuff go on. And he was a wee bit bamboozled, to say the least, as we were praying in Jesus' name. And we dealt with her. And so we went back for another meal the following week. Regular occurrence, that was for me. And over the table, he says, Bob, I realize I've got to make a decision here. There's a good side and a bad side here. And I've got to make a decision. And he made a decision for Jesus Christ over a meal, just like that. And, you know, that couple ended up in Mozambique serving God with Heidi Baker. I thought, you couldn't work that out, could you? Because the presence of God was there. So, folks, recognize it. Make sure the ark is within viewing distance. Don't lose sight of the ark, in a sense. That's important. The second thing is this. Recognize as you cross your Jordan, you're entering into your inheritance. Now, God's plan for you is this. Where God wants you to be, that's where the fruit happens. Okay? Because the inheritance was the promised land for them. And your inheritance right here in Taunton, whatever God has for you, whatever God you're doing for God, and you know that's God's will for you, that's where the fruit is. That's your inheritance. Your inheritance will be people becoming Christians. That's the joy of it all. When we left the Evangelical Church after 17 years, one of the ladies there, the elders' wives, had kept a note, actually, of all the folk we had baptized. I didn't know about this. She gave me the book, and there's all the names that we baptized over the last 17 years, and there was 400 people who became Christians and were baptized. We forgot all about that. So we were where God wanted us to be, because that's where the fruit is. Folks, this is your promised land. This is your promised land, and the inheritance is here, and it is so amazing that God will give you an inheritance. And I just want you to know that. And over again, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings. You will find sometimes that people won't understand what you're doing. When we moved into church work in Scotland, you know, who wants to serve God in Scotland? You know, it's cold up there. And we felt God calling us to open a Christian bookshop. The Christian leader says, "Bob, it won't work." Watch out for those kind of comments. We still opened it up. Eventually, we got a hold of a Church of Scotland church, manse and halls, and rented it for 15 years for £1 a year. I would call that a good deal. Wouldn't you? There was a bit of dry rot here and there, but that's okay. But we moved into the manse, and I felt like a vicar. You know the idea. But the point is this, to cut a long story short, that they bought the whole thing in the end. It's still going, and that bookshop is still going, and it's one of the biggest bookshops in Scotland. And you think, criticism will come, folks. That's the name of the game. But if you've felt God's presence, and you know that's your inheritance, that's where the fruit is. And that bookshop is still giving money away to mission all over the world. And that's been going for 40 years now. So, folks, I want to encourage you in this. I'm an ordinary guy from Scotland. What did you say? Of all places, that's true. I love a little bit of feedback, so you're allowed to shout. Okay. Heckle me if you want. So that's the second thing. You've got an inheritance here. And look at the inheritance you've already got, folks. These pictures were great, you know. They really were good. You know, ancient in some cases for some people, you know. But you look back and you think, it's wonderful. We were invited to the 40th anniversary of the Evangelical Church. That's today, actually. To go there today, but we're coming here instead. And they're actually got a 40th anniversary of the church that we were involved in today as well, in Dorset. It's remarkable, that, isn't it? And so we sent a video greeting to them over there. But the point is this, you know, recognize the presence, enter into your inheritance, but also, thirdly, commit yourself to a consecrated life. Verse 5 says that. There needs to be consecration, living a holy life. There ain't no shortcut, folks. People have tried a shortcut, but holiness is a key factor, living a pure life, because we serve a holy God. This is not rocket science. It is not new. But the children of Israel moved over with the ark, and God called them to live a life that was holy. And at times after that, they disobeyed, and the consequences were quite sad. So God is saying to you and I that there's got to be that consecration. And I love hanging around anointed people. And we were living up in Scotland a few years ago, because my father was still alive, and it didn't matter where we lived. And we had a man called Supreza Sitoli from Mozambique staying with us. He's called Surprise Sitoli. What a name to have. Hello, Surprise. You know, I found that quite amusing, Surprise Sitoli. So he was staying with us. He was one of these guys who's raised the dead, and he's healed the sick, and he was in our home, and he was just a quiet wee guy, you know. And you wonder, where's all this power, you know? But he was a guy that wherever he went, we had a summer house out in our back garden, you know? And his mind is on higher things than me. And he said, "Oh, Bob, I see you've got a prayer room." And I lied at first. "Yes, that's a prayer room." You know? But I says, "No, it's not really a surprise. We do pray now and again, but it's a summer house. It's so cold in Scotland, we've got to sit in a summer house for the sun." You know the idea? And but that was his mindset. You know what I mean? You know, and he was a guy, he went into the church that morning in Elam Church, where we were working at that time. And when he went up on the platform, he exploded. There was about 25 healings that morning. You know, because that man was living a holy life to God, and that's important. Eileen, why don't you share a wee bit of testimony now? They may understand you.
Hi, well, it's so good to be here to celebrate with you 25 years of God's faithfulness. And, you know, when I was watching the pictures come up, it's so good, isn't it, to be able to look back as well as look forward. And looking back helps us to move forward because we've seen God in his faithfulness. And I just felt, when I was thinking that and looking at these photographs, I just felt God say, tell them thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their faithfulness. He is so pleased at your faithfulness. You've made a home for him here. You've made room for him. And he says, thank you. And that just touched me, and I thought, this is a good place to be. This is a good place to be. And it's lovely to be here and share with you this morning. And a few months ago, I just read a quote from a book that Lisa Bevere was writing. I think it's now out. And the quote was about God. When she was typing, the book is about rival, without rival, it's called. And when she was typing up some stuff, she just felt God say to her, you know, I don't love my children equally. And she stopped. And she says, God, you've got to. You've got to. He says, I don't love my children the same. And she says, well, if you don't, I need to sort this one out then. And he just said to her, you know, if I love my children the same, it means you're replaceable. I can just replace you. If I love you equally, my love can be measured. I love you all uniquely. God knows each one of you uniquely. And that's how he loves you. And that really began to speak right deep into my heart. Because you know what really used to bug me? People would come up and say to me, you know, I'm God's favorite. And I thought, well, no, I says, I think I'm his favorite. But I really didn't know what that meant. To be honest, it really got to bug me because when I was growing up, there was only my sister and I in the family, and my mother used to treat us the same so that we wouldn't think there was a favourite. We always got treated the same. If I got something, she got it. If she got something, I got it. And, you know, not that long ago, she said to me, now that we're both in our 70s, she said to me, I always knew you were Mum's favourite. And I thought, but she always treated us the same. She never really had any favourites. Oh, she says she did. So she thought I was the favourite, and I never, ever picked that one up. And, you know, I looked at our boys. We've got three. I need to stop calling them boys. They're all grown up. We've got three sons. And I used to treat them the same as I had been treated at home. I treated them all the same. But it wasn't long till I discovered they were all quite different. And what I did for one didn't work for the other. And that's a bit what God was trying to put over in this book, that he loves us all so uniquely because he made us, he knows us. He knows how each one of us tick. He knows how we think. He knows what's good for us. And he speaks to us in different ways. And he disciplines us in different ways. And a few, this has gone back a little while. We were going up to Scotland. This is when we were in Dorset. We were going up to Scotland for a week, just for a retreat week, to have some counselling, have time away, and just to try and get our thoughts together. Where are we, God? Where are we going? You know, you get to a place like that sometimes, you think, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know how to get past where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm looking for. So we thought, we need a week away. So I went up to this group in Edinburgh where nobody would know us. And we had a really lovely time. And on the Wednesday, it started on the Monday, on the Wednesday, they said to us, on Wednesday afternoon, come together, because we'd done different sessions. Come together because we just want to pray over you. Nothing to do for you. We want to pray over you and just speak words over you. So we said that would be lovely. So we arrived on the Wednesday and they had a nice sofa and they said, just sit down, make yourselves comfortable and just get into that secret place with God. Get into a place where you know you can meet with him. Shut your eyes. We're going to pray with you. So we just sat down, settled ourselves down, shut our eyes. And I shut my eyes and I just sat for a while and I says, God, I need to meet with you somewhere. I need to meet with you. And I came into this field just of rough grass and some flowers. And there was a little path winding its way round. And as I walked down this path, there was a two-seater bench. And as I came up to the bench, I sat down. I sat down in this two-seater bench and I felt somebody come and sit beside me. Now, there was nobody there. I was on the bench on my own, but I knew Jesus had come and sat beside me. And we sat like that for the rest of the time that they were praying. Never said a word. He never spoke. I never spoke. I never asked any questions. We just sat in a peace and a calmness and quietness, in a love place. It was absolutely beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And at the end, when they prayed for us and amen, we knew that was our time finished. And they said, we don't want to know what went on. We don't want to hear anything. But she said to me, Eileen, there's a verse that I want to pray over you. Is that okay? And I said, of course it is. And so she said, it's from Zephaniah 3:17. It's such a well-known verse, and it's a beautiful verse. And I'll just read it to you. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I looked at her and I said, that's a beautiful verse. Thank you very much. You know, as you do, I shut my Bible and off we went. And I said, that was nice, but that was it. It was a nice verse. And you know, that verse, the more I've looked into it, that verse is when God takes delight in us and he quiets us with his love, he's rejoicing over us. Do you know what he's doing? He's actually dancing around us. He's dancing around us, singing over us, because of who we are. We, in our unique state, is dancing around us, singing over us. And I would pray that you would hear the song that he's singing over you in, at this time in your life, that you would hear his song over you, wherever you are in this part of your life. Because as the church is moving on, you've looked back 25 years, we're looking forward now, and we're all on that journey, aren't we? We're all on a journey, and they say this is the longest journey from the head to the heart. It's the 18-inch journey, they call it, from the head to the heart. And we're in that journey right now, from the head to the heart. And it's just a constant, God, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. And we want the more, don't we? We want the more. Well, on the Friday when we were leaving to come back home to this group, we'd flown up to Edinburgh. The lady we were staying with, who knew nothing of what had gone on during the week, she gave us a lift to the airport. And when we got out of the car, she handed me this envelope and she said, God just told me to buy this card for you. But she said, don't open it until you get on the plane. Well, I mean, that was a silly thing to say, wasn't it? Because it's like giving children a packet of sweets and say, don't open them till you have your dinner. So, of course, as soon as we get into the airport, I had the envelope opened up. And I was stunned because my card was a little two-seater bench, just as I had pictured it. And on the back, she'd written the verse, Zephaniah 3:17. Now, when we had gone home on the Wednesday evening, after the lady had prayed that over me, I said to Bob, you know, I was sitting in a two-seater bench with Jesus this afternoon, and then she prayed that verse, because we'd looked at the verse. She prayed that, and I said, I really feel that my imagination took me there, that it was such a lovely, lovely place. But I just imagined, because I was so desperate just to sit with Jesus, that my imagination had taken me to that bench. And then on the Friday, I got this and got my verse, and God said, you didn't imagine that. I was there. I was there. You didn't imagine it. And I felt, no, I'm not that clever, actually. I couldn't have imagined it. But, you know, we do that, don't we? Sometimes God is always speaking to us, but sometimes when we think we hear him, we analyze it away. We can analyze things away so easily. And I do that, and I have to pull myself up and say, thank you, God. I'm taking that from you. I'm going to accept that was you speaking. Because God is speaking to us so much, and we miss so much of what he wants to tell us. So, folks, start believing what God says over you. Start believing who you are, because your destiny is there. Your identity is in him. Start believing what he's spoken over your life. And the things that he shows you and the things that he gives you, believe it. Write them down. And when you look back, you'll be amazed at how things have gone.
So isn't God good? God is so good. A few minutes and I'll be finished, David. Or Dave, or Your Holiness, or whatever you're called here. When I think of this particular, so the holiness and the walking with God, that if we walk with God in a consecrated life, the sky's the limit for us, isn't it? And moving with him. And so that's why I wanted Eileen to share that. It's so encouraging. It's for all of us. But I just want to say a couple of other things. As you go on this journey that you've not been before, be excited at what God is going to do, because it says in verse 5 here that God did amazing things. Amazing things. And that word, I know we can say that an awful lot. God does amazing things. But folks, that's our God. All of us have got testimony to the amazing things God has done in our lives in a variety of ways. And I want you to be encouraged by that fact. I want to pray that over you at the end, that God, that there will be great expectations over your individual life and your corporate life in this church. And I'm always fighting with this one, God doing amazing things, you know. And it's, you know, sometimes I've got to rethink it all. In the Blandford, when we were there, an old missionary couple came to live in the town and came to our church. And they'd been 40 years in the Congo. And they were the only survivors of the massacre there. Lovely couple, you know. And they came to our church and they came to our prayer meeting where we prayed, I said nice prayers and all that kind of stuff. And he began to pray in a different, he went, praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh the Lord, you know. And I looked around, who is this guy? You know, he was a Pentecostal, you know, a classic Pentecostal. And we were not used to classic Pentecostals. And for some reason, we stopped getting him involved a wee bit. For a few months, I thought this is not right. So I went to visit them. They lived 100 yards from us. I went up to visit them, to see them, and his wife Alice was a lovely baker, which I felt I should encourage. This is one of my giftings in life. She's a lovely baker. Then that was on my top of my list, regular visitations there, you know, for that. And you know, we began to talk to him and hearing Harold's story of his many years in mission. And I was moving into renewal in the Holy Spirit then and a wee bit, but he kept telling me, Bob, you've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Every time I went in there for a cake and a cup of tea, Holy Ghost. Every time, he never let go, never let go. And so we went there and we got to know them and they got integrated into our church. They were anointed people. But Alice was very quiet. But Alice was somebody that whatever she said was worth listening to. And this amazed me. So I said to Alice, and Alice, what's your background? Where do you come from? And she says, well, actually, I'm the granddaughter of Smith Wigglesworth. And I thought, oh, that's nice, you know, as you do. I thought, Bob, you are an idiot. That's what I said to myself. Here we have is some amazing couple here who had done amazing things for God, and we thought we were better than them. Folks, recognize in people's lives the anointing. And it'll come in different ways. They became close friends after that, I'll tell you there. And he prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Ghost many times. You know, anytime, Harold, anytime. Anytime. And there's more to that story, but I'll leave it there at the moment. I just want you to get excited about, if God can do it in each one of us, it's amazing, folks. Tell your neighbor, it's amazing what God can do. Come on, it's amazing what God can do in your life. Get a hold of that thought. It's amazing what you can do. So I want to encourage you in that. As they cross the Jordan, can you imagine crossing the Jordan on dry ground? That's amazing. I would call that amazing. And so in that kind of way, we are the new covenant of God today. How much more are you going to do amazing things here? And never doubt that fact. One thing that encouraged me, particularly with the whole Toronto thing, Eileen and I have spent quite a lot of time with John and Caroline over the years, and I just love their attitude, because we sit together sometimes and we hear testimonies, and he's heard millions of testimonies. You know the idea? And he would turn and say, Bob, isn't that amazing? He's heard it before a million times. Isn't that amazing? He never lost the joy of the amazing. And I don't want to lose the joy of the amazing in my life, because it is amazing. That's deep stuff, isn't it? You know, it's deep, really deep. So be excited about what God's going to do. And you're going to move into your inheritance, and you're going to go over in dry ground, folks. Nothing will hold you back. And finally, I want to say this. God will honor the leadership. That says in verse 7. And one thing I want to say is part of this whole going with God. It's important, as it says there in verse 7, I think it is. Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. And I think one of the bedrocks of revival and the bedrocks of doing amazing things is honoring the leadership and honoring one another. That's a key factor. That is a key factor, is honoring each other. Because we are a family, and we just want you to know that God will... A culture of honor is Danny Silk's. Have you heard Danny Silk's stuff? It's brilliant stuff from Bethel. The honor, the culture of honor is a key factor. That brings a climate into a situation that God finds it easy to work. It's amazing, that. So I want you to know that. And so today, I just want to encourage each one of you that God wants you to go places with him. God wants to bless you. And some of you may feel a bit fearful of it all. What's up the road? What's going to happen? Well, God's up the road. He's up there, you know. He's outside of time, and he knows what is going on. And I read a lovely quote, and I don't know who it was. It says, fear knocked at the door, faith went to answer it, and no one was there. I'll say that again. Fear knocked at the door, faith went to answer it, and no one was there. So, fear be gone in Jesus' name. Because God's up the road. God's there, and God wants to bless you. And my prayer would be that the next 25 years will be as exciting, if not more exciting, more exciting than ever before, and that you would know what it means. And so I want just to do that. I would like to do it before we finish. When do we finish, David?